everyone, and welcome back to the Hurry Up Podcast. I'm your host, David Giardino, and I'm joined today by Brandon Ganasty.
Yo.
All right, so the trade deadline is officially over, one of the more active ones we've seen in the last couple of years. Let's just jump right into it. Start off with the Chicago Bulls made a couple of moves. They ended up, I think, on their team. Obviously, Nikola Vucevic is now a Bull. Daniel Tice, Troy Brown Jr., and Al-Farouq Aminu is also on their team as well. What do you think about the Bulls' moves?
I mean, I really love this move initially because it puts them it doesn't set them up for success this year, but it sets them up for success next year and maybe one more year after that. But then my issue with this deal comes up with, I think that's the extent of it. Vucevic is aging. He's approaching his, I think he might be 30 this season, 29, 30, 31.
Somewhere around there, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't think he has too much left in him beyond two more years, and I don't think that fits too well with the Bulls' timeline. But, you know, if it could make it a desirable place for maybe a free agent, who knows? Yeah. It could work out. It depends on what else happens. This can't be the only move.
Yeah, that's my thought process as well, and I think the Bulls are in a similar situation to what the Knicks have been in, like that they've just been god-awful for a while now, that, you know, they had a chance to get a second All-Star, and they took it. And I've seen people saying that they gave up too much, and yeah, two first-round picks is a lot, but I think this is the time they're going to make a playoff push this year. Maybe they get in, maybe they don't. But I think they're locks for the playoffs the next couple of years. And, you know, I agree with you. Vucevic is definitely getting old. Although I think he's going to be a guy that's going to be able to put up similar production very late into his career because he's not.
He's a shooter. Yeah.
Yeah, his game is very skill-based and not not based athleticism. On athleticism. Yeah, I like this trade for the Bulls. I think that they just really want to get back into the playoffs. And I like the Daniel Tice move too, because that gives them really good.
Such an underrated center. I cannot tell you how underrated.
He's really underrated, and I really like him coming off the bench for teams. And then, you know, their only issue is they haven't really fixed their point guard spot yet, but I think Coby White will eventually grow into that. So I think this is a really good move for them, and I do think that it also opens the door for free agents, because like we do forget sometimes Chicago is a really big market, and so now it is an attractive destination for free agents in the future.
I mean, for some reason though, there has been something that has been stopping free agents from going to Chicago. Like the last big marquee free agent we saw going to Chicago was maybe a depleted, old, washed-up Dwayne Wade.
Or Pau Gasol, maybe.
I mean, yeah, that's going back a little further.
Your point stands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I think maybe it's just they didn't have a ton of, I don't know.
But you can't look – with the Knicks, it's very clearly like, okay, players don't want to go there because of the ownership.
Yeah.
Chicago's a good city. I think the ownership in Chicago is – It's pretty good. They seem to make consistent good decisions, very decisive good decisions. They never stay in no man's land, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of a wonder, and they have a good coach. It's strange how they have just not gotten better, and they've been stuck being bad the last couple of years.
Yeah, but I do think that's kind of on the mend. I don't know. I don't know about you, but their new GM this year, I can't pronounce his name. But he's already made some really good moves, and we've seen Zach LaVine flourish, and I think Vucevic is actually going to play just as well in Chicago as he is in, because like offensively him and Zach LaVine is incredible, and they still have good solid defenders around them too. I think it's a perfect fit.
I mean, I have one more issue with this deal, you know, trading Vucevic to a franchise that in recent years has not been winning. You know, traditionally, not traditionally, but like, you know, historically, Vucevic is not a winner. He puts up the numbers. They don't translate into wins. And that's an issue when you're a team that's trying to rise above the others. That's why I like the pickup of Daniel Tice so much. He's a proven winner, got to the Eastern Conference Finals 2 years, you know, major part of that roster. He's willing to put his body on the line, not get the numbers, sacrifice for other players. You need those type of guys if you want to win.
I like the vets that they have on that team for sure. For sure, for sure. Let's move to another deal. It's going to be a lot of Orlando what are your thoughts on the Magic side of that deal? Getting back Wendell Carter and a couple first-round picks?
Hey, they need two things. They need to get younger and they need to get more picks. And I think they did that.
Yeah, they absolutely, you know, when we said going into the trade deadline, like, what are the Magic going to do? Blow it up. That's what they should have been doing for the last couple of years now. And they did it at the deadline. I mean, you saw Terrence Ross is all over Twitter with the I am the captain now memes. And they did a perfect job. And I think Wendell Carter, while he may never be an all-star, will progress into a solid starting center. And I don't know, between him and Mobamba, I think that center spot might be good for them. And if I'm not mistaken, both picks have a top four protection on them. So even if Chicago, if it fails, then it's not necessarily too big of a give up for Chicago. But on the contrary, those picks will most likely not be top four. And so Orlando gets more draft capital, which I've said all year is increasingly more important as draft classes get better. So I really like this move for them. Moving on to a deal that may not be so good for the Magic, Evan Fournier to the Celtics for 2 second-round picks. Let's just hear Celtics side first. What are you thinking?
What a steal. What a steal. Yeah. Oh, my God. They traded away a 20-point-per-game shooter and playmaker away for just 2 second-round picks.
Yeah.
Man, I'm really happy with that as a Celtics fan. And I actually like the lack of another deal because a lot of people wanted Vucevic, a lot of people wanted Aaron Gordon. I don't think that there's room for too many wings. And at that point, if you got Aaron Gordon and Fournier, there'd be too many cooks in the kitchen, like we saw in 2018. And I think with Vucevic, we've seen that Robert Williams has the potential to be something special. So I'd like to give him time to progress. And we also saw him putting up historic numbers in his first start the other night. Like, historic numbers that have been done by, like, Al Horford, Larry Bird, and Robert Parrish, and, like, maybe one other guy. I don't remember the exact stat line, but it was, like, an incredible, filled up the whole stat sheet last night. I like how the Celtics handled the trade deadline. And I love the Fournier deal. I love Fournier to the Celtics. I think he's that one final piece. Not the final piece that I think they need to contend, but I think he will take the load off of Tatum and Brown, which is what they needed.
Yeah, you definitely needed somebody for that second unit to come in and just score. And he's really good at just coming in and scoring, especially guard play. I do agree with you. I like this deal a lot more than a Gordon or a Vucevic deal. I never was a fan of the Vucevic deal for the Celtics because I still think the Celtics need a center, but that center has to be a good rim protector and can stretch the floor. And Vucevic cannot protect the basket. He can definitely stretch the floor. He's not a good defensive center, and that's what the Celtics need. And then for Aaron Gordon, I agree. I think they have their wing positions set. But Fournier is a much, much needed backup guard. And he can come in and play two or the three if you want to run smart at the one. Or, like, there are a bunch of different things you can do now with Fournier. And you got him for nothing. Like, second-round picks on a contender are meaningless. They're meaningless. For the Magic, I don't really understand this. Maybe they didn't get better offers. I agree with unloading Fournier, but I can't help but think they maybe could have gotten something better.
I don't know, maybe it was like a loyalty move. They wanted to do him nicely, set him up well for his career. You know, he gave us this many years. We want to send him off well.
You know, maybe if he stays on the Celtics next year, he could be a potential Sixth Man of the Year candidate. I don't really see him starting, do you? Ever?
I personally love Smart off the bench. I would like to see Fournier starting by the end of the season.
I think you lose too much defense with that, though. Because I know Brown and Tatum are great defenders. But I don't know. I like Smart starting alongside. Because Kemba can't guard anybody.
Yeah.
So I think you need a guy that can guard a another guard alongside him.
I mean, I agree with you, but one of the things that I love about Smart off the bench is, like, I think he's the greatest spark in the league. He's the greatest spark of energy.
Yes.
And I think we lose some of that when he starts, and I think he impacts the game a little less when he starts, but that's just me. You know,
maybe he comes off the bench but closes games. I think you need him to close games. Yeah. All right. Last Magic trade of the day. Aaron Gordon to the Denver Nuggets for Gary Harris, RJ Hampton in the first round pick. Thoughts?
I gotta say, like, I feel like the Magic were also fleeced in this one. I feel like they could have gotten something better than this, you know? Gary Harris, RJ Hampton, yeah, two prospects that are trending downwards.
Ooh. I don't think RJ Hampton's... I like RJ Hampton. I think he could be a solid player. Gary Harris has not shown a lot. Maybe a different situation will help that, but I don't know. I don't think it's a bad haul for Gordon. I think it's better than what they were going to get elsewhere.
I would have rathered more picks than young players.
Maybe. I mean, and they did get a first for 2025, so that's far enough down the line that might turn out to be pretty valuable. But for the Nuggets' point of view, it's a perfect move, I think. It's pretty clear that they're missing what Jeremy Grant gave them last year, a guy that can just guard the three or the four really, really well, and also score the ball a lot. And I've been saying this all year, and really for the last couple of years, I think the problem with Aaron Gordon is just he just needs a new situation. So I still think he has a lot more to give than what he's shown. I think him running off of getting passes from Jokic and playing alongside Jamal Murray is going to be really, really good for them.
I also I don't know, maybe this is just a little critique of mine, and I'm being a grump when I say that in some ways the Nuggets are very painfully slow to watch. And even though it's efficient, it doesn't feel a bit too fun. And I think Aaron Gordon coming in there with his explosive athletic ability, I think that makes them a lot more fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. And, you know, it's just another guy for Jokic to pass to. I mean, I think he's capable of putting up 20 a game on his own team. And so if he can, it's just another guy that can go out and give you 20. And then it's a guy on defense that you can trust that has a lot of versatility, because I don't personally trust Paul Millsap anymore. I think he's gotten a little old.
Jamal Murray. He's not a great...
Oh, he's a terrible defender.
They really have a pretty terrible all-around defensive team, you know?
Yeah, and that's where Jeremy Grant was missed. And in the West... specifically in the playoffs, you're really, really going to need good defense, or at least guys that can slow, especially if you're going to run up against the Clippers or the Lakers. Maybe a guy that can try to slow down Kawhi or LeBron, and obviously not going to shut them down because that's ridiculous, but slow them down. I think that Aaron Gordon can definitely do that. Let's move over to my personal winners of the trade deadline. The Miami Heat, acquiring Bielitsa from the Kings for practically nothing, and then making a massive deal with the Rockets to get Victor Oladipo for Avery Bradley and Kelly Olynyk in a second round pick. So thoughts on just the Heat at the deadline overall?
I mean, I have two major thoughts. Number one, love the Bielitsa trade. Love that trade. He addresses a really big need that they face. And I think he's a better version of Myers Leonard, you know?
Yeah.
I think he's a really important guy for them. But my second thought is that this Oladipo trade is so overrated.
What?
I don't think Oladipo has it anymore.
Man, really?
I think maybe he was able to put up numbers on like a 20-game losing streak Rockets, but come on. If he was a star, maybe they would have won one of those 20 games.
I don't think he's a star, but like he...
And what is he? What is he? He's just a player with an over...
I think he's an above average starter. I don't know.
Is he above average starter? He puts up points. I don't think his shooting percentage is there. I don't think he has the defensive ability. I don't think he has the athleticism anymore. He doesn't have the passing ability.
I mean,
he's a scorer, but he's not good at scoring anymore. And I don't, and as well, I don't think he's a great locker room guy.
What makes you say that?
The reports going around of him going to other teams and saying, "Hey, trade for me," when he was still on the Pacers.
I don't really.
And there were reports about him really not being loved in the Rockets locker room.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'm not gonna look too far into the Rockets situation because that was kind of a mess. I think this move is perfect for the Heat and for Oladipo because he is like barring any not getting along with Jimmy Butler, which I doubt is gonna happen. He is the perfect player for the Heat culture and the way that they play. He's gonna fit perfectly alongside a guy like Jimmy Butler while also having like Duncan Robinson running around spacing the floor for him. And I think he's going to be able to re-sign there after the season. I had Miami as my four seed at the end of the year in the East. And I, you know, think they may be top Milwaukee right now for me.
No.
I think they might be a better team than Milwaukee. Come playoff time. Come playoff time. I love this Heat team. And they got him without giving up Tyler Hero or Duncan Robinson.
I think once we have playoff crowds back in the building, I think Milwaukee will crumble. Or not Milwaukee. I think, honestly, Milwaukee as well. But I think the Heat are going to crumble under the pressure.
How? Of
the
crowd. Dude, Miami's like one of the best places to play in the league.
I think if you have Miami going to... I don't know, where would they go? Philly, Brooklyn. I think that Tyler Hero and who are the other
Duncan
white guy?
Duncan Robinson.
I think those guys are just going to freak out. I don't think they can handle the pressure just yet. They're too young.
Oh, I love this Heat team. I really
maybe Bam Adebayo as well. We've never seen him perform in front of a playoff crowd. So
I think every player and I don't know. I think the key to the Heat's success this year is obviously going to be their shooting and turning it. Because right now, they're actually one of the worst shooting teams in the league. Last year, they were top five, and I think this year they might be bottom five, which is kind of insane to think, and I don't think will last. I don't know. I think the Heat are a top three team in the East right now and might come out of it. I don't think... No, I take that back, because Brooklyn's going to come out of it. But... I think they have they've made themselves so much better and gave up literally nothing at the deadline.
I don't know. I think they're a little overrated. I think the trade is a little overrated, and I think Oladipo as a player is a little – I think he was perfectly rated when he was on the Pacers in Indiana, but now I think he's vastly overrated, and people are having selective memory whenever they think of him.
That might be fair. Let's move on to one more trade. This was the most confusing trade of the deadline for me. The Raptors and the Blazers. The Raptors trade Norman Powell for Gary Trent and Rodney Hood. Thoughts on this trade?
Hey, I mean, Gary Trent's very young, right? What is he, 20?
20. Yeah, somewhere around there.
I don't think it was that confusing. They've shown that they want to get younger, and they're trying to rebuild at this point. I think this trade made perfect sense to me, personally, but...
I don't know. I just, like... Because, you know, I get it from the Blazers' point of view, I get it from the Raptors' point of view because, like, Norman Powell has a player option at the end of the year that he probably will not take because he's playing way, way better than $11 million or whatever it is. Like, he's been incredible this year. So I get wanting to get rid of him, and Gary Trent has been... really good ever since the bubble, and I don't know what has happened to Rodney Hood, but like, I don't know, he's kind of a throwaway piece in this deal, but Gary Trent has looked solid. But for the Blazers, I don't know, because they definitely got the best player in this deal. They definitely got Norm Powell is far and away the best player in this deal, but like I said, are they going to want to pay him at the end of the year? Because he's going to get around $20 million from some team. He's playing like that. So
they're going to...
I don't think they're going to match that. So what did you just give away one of your up-and-coming players for? Like, 1 year of contention? Like, I get a contending team is trying to get the best player in a deal. But if it's a one-year rental...
Hey, maybe they're throwing all their chips in the pot for this one. Like,
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I see it.
how many more years of Damian Lillard performing at this level do you have? Four?
Yeah, maybe four. I
Three,
don't
four.
know. I mean, he did just put up 22 in his debut, and so I don't know. He's a great player. I like this Portland team just as a team in general. So I see why they did what they did. I just fear that, after this season, they're not going to want to pay him, and they're just going to have given Gary Trent away for nothing.
Well,
So,
I mean, I see what you're saying. And I don't know. I think it's one of those things where just they wanted to get a better player and they wanted to make the team better. So I think you're looking a little too deep.
Okay. Yeah,
I see
maybe.
what you're saying for the future, but they're really in just a win now mode. I don't think any there we really haven't seen any young players other than Gary Trent Jr. for the last 4 years in the Trailblazers, you know?
Yeah, and if that's the case, then I like the move. Last deal we want to talk about, Hawks traded Rajon Rondo to the Clippers for Lou Williams. But just preliminary thoughts on that deal.
I don't love that deal for the Hawks, but I love it for the Clippers. I think that makes them the favorites to come out of the West, honestly.
Yeah. Well, the whole thing with Lou Will is, you remember he said that if he was ever traded from LA, he was gonna retire.
Yeah.
Since then, he has come out and said that that's not gonna happen. But I, dude, this the Clippers just hit a home run with this deal, because I've been saying they
That's
should
the
trade.
dream right there, yeah.
Yeah, I've been saying they should trade Lou Will for a while because, come playoff time, he is simply unplayable. He
Also,
does.
he's old.
He can't guard anybody, and he's notorious for being bad in the playoffs. So,
He's also old, you know.
yeah.
He's averaging, what, 15 points this year.
He just doesn't fit. He doesn't fit on that team, and Rondo absolutely does. They needed a ball handler off the bench, and we both thought that it might be Lonzo. It wasn't, and Rondo just fits that perfectly. He gets a floor general who we all know plays significantly better in the playoffs because he has championship experience. I think this is really, really good. And then for Atlanta, I think, I don't know, my reason for them doing it might not be their reason for doing it, but I think, Chris Dunn coming back, they had a defensive point guard in their backcourt, and they wanted scoring off their bench. I don't know. I don't love the deal for Atlanta, but I absolutely love it for LA. We're gonna take a break. When we come back, we're gonna just finish up on trades and then talk about the buyout market. All right, and welcome back. We just want to touch on two quick trades before we talk about a couple players that didn't get traded and then the buyout market. First off, being JJ Redick getting traded to the Dallas Mavericks. Thoughts? Sorry, JJ Redick and Nico Melli for James Johnson.
I don't know if JJ JJ that's happened. I don't know if JJ Redick really sort of addresses any one of their needs. It makes them better at shooting, but it really doesn't improve them where they need to be improved, which is their defense. And they need a spark, an energy spark. So I mean, this deal's okay. I think JJ Redick anywhere, I'd like that. I don't think there's any team in the world that couldn't use him, but it's just sort of, I don't think this improves them that much.
Yeah, I've the same thoughts. I mean, and what did they give away? Their guy that was a spark plug and played a lot of defense. JJ Redick is one of the best vets in the league. He's a really good locker room guy. So maybe that's the reason that they got him. I think for him, from his point of view, he would have been much more valuable on maybe Philly or Boston. But I don't know. I don't know how much better this makes the Mavericks. And I don't like it for them. And then I also don't really like it for New Orleans either because they lost one of their locker room guys, and their vets. So I don't know really what this means for them. I think this is kind of a lose-lose trade, but it is what it is. And the last trade I want to touch on is a three-team deal between Philly, New York, and Oklahoma City, which basically just ended up seeing George Hill get traded to the 76ers. That's really the only notable part. Although the Thunder did get some additional picks, which means now over the next 7 years, the Thunder have 34 total picks, 17 first-rounders and 17 second-rounders. So shout-out Sam Presti. But what do you think about George Hill of the 76ers?
I'm okay with it. I don't think it makes them that much better. I think they really had all the pieces they needed, and I think at this point it's getting to be a little much. I think that Daryl Morey just wanted to make a trade for the sake of having a trade done. I really don't think this was anything that they needed that much. I think they have all the point guards. They had all the shooting. They had all the defense that they needed, all the leadership, all the veterans that they needed. But I don't know. It's okay. Yeah, I'm fine with it. I don't think this makes them that much better. I don't think it makes them that much worse at this point in George Hill's career. And I'm starting to have an issue with the Thunder and their deals for picks, because it's getting to the point. It's getting to a hoarding level, you know. We're getting to like a certain, and we'll see what they do with this, because maybe they could trade.
That's what I think. We're not keeping
more so than four. I think more so than actually using these picks in the drafts, they're going to use these picks in trades, which I would like.
Oh, I have complete faith in Sam Presti. We're getting every pick in the league. I'm telling you right now, every single pick in the league is coming to Oklahoma City. I don't know. I'm not mad at having 34 picks, and definitely not going to use them all. But I think now we have the flexibility to, if there is a prospect we really like, we have the flexibility to go out and get them without really damaging us too much. But for George Hill, he does bring shooting, which, you know, you can really never have too much of if you're the 76ers, and he does bring a veteran presence. The price is a little high for me. He's making about $9 million. And he's not playing anytime soon. He's still out with an injury. So I don't know. I like the deal. It's obviously not a game changer. I still think I agree with you. The 76ers would have been just fine without him. But I think he does add a good amount to that team. All right, let's move on to specifically two players that were not traded at the trade deadline that we both thought were going to be moved. The first one being Kyle Lowry. It was just reported that the reason he wasn't traded is the Raptors just did not get a package they liked for him. Other teams thought that they were asking for too much. Over the course of the day, the Raptors did open up a couple of spots for him, trading Terrence Davis to the Kings and then also shipping out Matt Thomas as well. But at the end of the day, nothing happened. What do you think that means for the Raptors and for Kyle Lowry?
I don't think it changes the Raptors' plans at all. I think they're still going to – I don't know if they're going to want to go full tanking mode, but they're definitely going to want to have a sort of soft rebuild. But I think that I like Lowry staying on the Raptors because it just – it makes sense, you know. Lowry needs to be on the Raptors.
You want him to be a legacy player?
Yeah. Look, teams have gone through this phase before with their best players still on the teams. Look at the Lakers with Kobe Bryant. Look at the Mavs with – Dirk, it's not unheard of. You know, I like the idea of an organization being loyal to their player, you know?
Yeah. I mean, look, Lowry is absolutely the greatest Raptor ever. But I don't know. From a basketball standpoint, I think he makes them too good because he's still a really, really good player. Like, Kobe and Dirk were battling injuries at this point in their careers. Or yeah. Maybe not Kobe, but like Dirk was absolutely battling injuries, and so was Kobe. So from a pure business standpoint, it absolutely makes sense for them to move him at some point. But I get it; they didn't want to do what the Rockets did with Oladipo. They wanted to get their value for their player. I'm still gonna look to the offseason. Maybe something will happen then. I think this sucks for Lowry. I know he's not mad about staying in Toronto, because that is his home, but from a resume perspective, I think he would have been a lot more happy in Miami, Philly, or LA. But I don't know. I still think the Raptors need to blow it up. I think they need to get somebody that fits the Siakam, OG Anunoby timeline a little bit better. But we'll see what they do. moving forward. Next guy I want to talk about, Lonzo Ball, is staying in New Orleans. Thoughts on that?
I mean, I don't think he's good enough to be able to say, I want to be traded. I think that's a lot of, I'll just say he's very confident for a player that maybe a third of the league believes in. He's gotten better in New Orleans. I don't understand why he would want to leave.
I don't think he does want to leave. I think his dad said that he wants to leave. But that doesn't, to me, that means absolutely nothing. I like him staying in New Orleans if they can learn to use him, because the way they've used him is purely as a spot-up shooter. And I know that every player in the league needs to shoot to some extent, and I think, and he can. He has shown that he's grown as a shooter and is able to shoot, but obviously he is way better than just a spot-up shooter. So if New Orleans can figure that out, he can absolutely be the point guard for their franchise if they can learn to utilize him. I think he does complement Zion well. My problem is I don't know how well he complements Brandon Ingram. So that'll be interesting. And I think other teams lost out on it. I think if he got traded to Chicago, that would be, they would, I think they would be looking at maybe a four or five seed with Chicago getting Lonzo Ball.
Yeah, I also would have liked to see him go to Phoenix, maybe off the bench, you know?
Yeah, I think other teams missed out on him. We'll see if he gets paid. That's another big question. But yeah, I like it for New Orleans if they can find out how to utilize him. So let's move on to the buyout market. It was just reported today that LaMarcus Aldridge signed with the Nets for the veterans minimum. It just, what are your thoughts?
What did he do?
He signed with the Nets.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. I just think, frankly, I'm going to be real. I think it's disgusting at this point.
Man.
It's just shameless. The level of ring chasing that we've seen with Marcus Aldridge and Blake Griffin is, frankly, and James Harden to an extent, is shameless. And I don't think KD deserves respect for any one of his rings now. If he went, well, he's going to win one this year, but I don't think he deserves respect for any of them. Oh, my God.
I don't know. I think that this one's legit, but, like, oh, my God.
This one is not legit. How is this one legit? Because
it wasn't him joining.
Six All-Stars. Okay. Kind of young.
Aldridge is 36. He's not as.
He was an All-Star like a year ago.
That was not a year ago. That was, like,
two years ago.
Okay. Yes. It is a dumb move. I don't like him doing this.
I think it's a terrible look for him. For KD, for the whole Nets team, and I think it's a bad look for the NBA as a whole.
I don't think KD cares. I don't think the Nets care. I agree with you about
why
the
do you
NBA.
Think KD went to Brooklyn if he didn't care? He
to go play with one of his best friends?
No, he went to Brooklyn to try and cement his legacy.
No, if he did that, he would have gone to New York. If he really cared about like leading a team to the finals, he would have went to New York, and he wouldn't have orchestrated the Harden trade. And do you really think that he wasn't part
of... One of the reasons why people hate the NBA the way they do. This is terrible.
No, I agree. I don't like stars ring chasing. At the end of the day, he is 36, so he might not be the same Aldridge as like we think of. But he is absolutely still capable of going out and getting 20 on a given night. And so that is scary. And absolutely the Nets are the title favorites now. I don't think it's particularly close. Unless maybe the next guy we talk about signs where we think he's going to talk about. Nobody's beating the Nets in the East, man. They have four, maybe five if Blake stays healthy, players that are capable of going out and getting 20 a night. And whose play styles absolutely complement each other. And, like, have bought into the team. Like, James Harden is the MVP right now. I don't care what anybody says. He's absolutely, with Embiid out, the MVP right now. And he's just, like, completely transformed himself and will absolutely do whatever it takes to make Aldridge fit into this team, too. There's no team in the East that are beating them right now.
I hate this. I hate this.
It's this fine. You guys have a good championship window. This isn't...
Yeah, I know, but I still, it's just a terrible look for the NBA as a whole. It's a terrible look for this generation of superstars, and it's just...
And the worst part is all of them are going to resign.
Well, I'm just going to go off on a rant for here in a little
second. Go ahead.
All of these people start ring chasing The goal isn't the ring. The ring by itself means nothing. When you're an NBA player and you have that money, you can buy yourself any ring you want. You don't do it for the jewelry. You do it for what the ring symbolizes, which is the accomplishment that comes with it. And this isn't going to be an accomplishment. This is just going to be what's expected of them. This is terrible.
I think this might be the most talented team of all time.
Oh.
That's not crazy to say, is it?
No, it's not, but it's disgusting to say.
All right, let's move on. This is not official yet, but a guy that just hit the buyout market as expected, Andre Drummond. It's looking like, so the top two were the Lakers and the Celtics. The Knicks were also in the running. It's just come out that the Lakers are pretty much the forefront to get him. So it's looking like he's going to go there. What are your thoughts if he goes to the Lakers?
First off, for the Celtics, I would hate that. Hate that.
I don't think it's that bad.
I would like it. I personally would really not like that. I would hate that. But for the Lakers, I think it would make their center position a little bit better.
I think it would make it a lot better. Over Marc Gasol, who has been terrible this year?
Andre Drummond hasn't been that much better.
He's had a good year. He's significantly better than Marc Gasol.
Bro, he couldn't even cement his place as a center in Cleveland.
Well, he has Jared Allen. Jared Allen's great.
He's fine. Jared Allen's fine. He's like a mid-tier
starter. I think he's more than
five. I think he has a lot of potential, but right now he's a mid-tier starter.
Okay.
He's a top. He's a top 15 starter in the NBA in the center position. Jared Allen.
I think Drummond's a better center than him right now.
That I just don't think so. I think he was beat out of the starting spot.
He wasn't. He was beat out of the starting spot because they wanted to get younger. I think Drummond's a better player. I'm not saying he's like a top five center or anything, but he's.
I don't think he's that much better. I think he's a maximum. He's a top 20 center.
I think he's top 15 for sure. He absolutely is top 15.
I would have preferred Daniel Tice going to the Lakers.
What?
I don't know how they could have worked that out, but
dude, that does not fit in the sledge. Drummond's averaging 17.5, 13.5.
I think Daniel Tice is one of those players who fits everywhere.
Yeah, but Drummond fits I think Drummond fits the Lakers perfectly. They have the floor spacing that he can just be Drummond and be incredibly effective.
They think he's going to be the next Dwight. He's not as defensively capable as Dwight.
I think he is.
He's not a defender.
He can do anything Dwight. I think he can do everything Dwight did and more.
That's just not true. He doesn't have the post-game Dwight had. He doesn't have the hops Dwight had.
Dwight averaged like 10 a game last year.
And that was pretty good for Dwight.
Yeah, but Drummond's definitely better right now than Dwight was last year.
Oh my, what a ridiculous overstatement.
Man, I think Drummond got so overrated that now he's underrated.
He was never overrated.
He was so overrated. People overrated the hell out of him.
He was never underrated.
I think he is right now. That's what I'm saying. People have totally given up on him.
Yeah, he's not a good center. That's why. All
right.
He would have translated some of his stats into wins.
I think this solidified.
He has never gotten a playoff victory.
Yeah, he also played on the Pistons. I'm not saying he's a star.
He was the player that the Pistons were building around.
Yeah, and he's not that guy. I know that. I'm definitely not saying he's that guy. I'm definitely not saying he's a guy to build around.
He's a little bit better. Just to have an extra body out there, but really not.
Right now they have nothing at the center.
I think Marc Gasol
has done nothing this year.
He's been injured.
He's old. He doesn't do anything anymore.
More than injured do not mix well.
Exactly. So they need somebody to fill that, and Drummond is going to fill that. Even if it's a one-year rental, they absolutely needed him.
Well, we'll see.
I think this solidified a Lakers-Nets finals.
No, I think the Clippers are now the favorites.
Really?
But that's a conversation for another day. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. I just don't. Especially when Bron and AD come back, I don't see anybody beating them in the West. All right. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you guys for listening. You can follow us on Instagram @TheOfficialHurryUp, where we post daily content about the NBA. You should also check out our website, thehurryup.com, where we post more in-depth content about the NBA as well. Go follow us on Twitter at _thehurryup, where we plan to give short pieces of insight on relevant news items on a regular basis, and on TikTok at thehurryup as well. Make sure to stay tuned for these weekly NBA segments every Monday, our NFL segment, which comes out Wednesday, and more bonus content over the weekends. Thanks again, and see you guys next week.